Hi, this is Keith Wooden, and welcome to Story Mosaics. I had so much fun with my wife in the studio last week. I have to tell you, I really don't care what you think about this. I think she hit a home run. And now she's walking around the house with a really satisfied look on her face, like, I did it. And she told her story so very well. And I hope if you didn't get a chance to listen to it, that you will make sure you go back and listen to that particular podcast and enjoy the content that was so life transformational to her and to Katarina, who had a life transformation because of Delaine's time with her. You know what? I'm just noticing the trend that is so powerful as we look at the very essence of storytelling, and that is that we're finding out the power of storytelling. It's just absolutely amazing to see how stories impact our lives. And of course, you know, it doesn't come as any surprise to me because that's my heartbeat. I have believed in story all of my life. And I've been a storyteller most of my life. Now, sometimes there's been an element of exaggeration such that my nephew once called me a story liar, but that's not the general case. Okay. I want you to know that everything I talk about is based on real life situations in my life. And I have a lot of fun with those. And I also find that my life has been significantly impacted by events that were transformational. And that's the essence of a great story. It's just common people like you, like me, whose lives have been touched in a significant way that has then transformed that life and then given them an opportunity to share it with others. And can I tell you that I kind of think that it's an obligation. I don't think of this as just an opportunity. I think we are called to tell our stories. And because of that, we want to help you tell your stories better, because I know it can be intimidating. And some of you, as I talk with you, as I speak with you, one of the things you always tell me is this: oh, I don't have a story to tell. Well, I will guarantee you, you do. And if I could just spend just a few minutes with each one of you, I could mine for your story and you would recognize, yeah, that really did change my life. And when we find those life-changing moments, we've found your story. And some of you didn't realize this, but you have many, 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 many life-changing moments. It was interesting, just a few weeks ago, I needed someone to sit across from me in the first few days of this podcast because I was having trouble playing to a camera, so to speak. And I recognized how hard it was. I needed a live audience. And so this individual came in and she was so kind just to sit across from me and nod every once in a while and let me know that she was hearing me talk about stories. And I don't need that anymore. Hey, that's so great. But at the same time, what she did afterwards was so significant. I said, so can we just hear your story sometime? And she said, oh, I don't have a story. I said, I bet you do. You know what? It only takes a minute for us to find the story of how our lives have been transformed by events and situations, and most importantly, how our lives have been transformed by God. I call it going on a God hunt sometimes, just to see what God has done and how he has changed us. It might have been an event that involved some friends or a wedding or a funeral. It could have been an event that was mostly funny, but then you recognize, you know what? Even in the laughter, and I believe God created us for laughter. It's one of the things I think is very significant, in fact, about our lives, is that God created us to laugh. And in fact, next week, I think you're going to laugh at the story I tell you about being chased by a hippopotamus. But when I recognize that God created us for a story, I have to go back. If you remember, we've got a setup as how we approach each Tuesday podcast. And it's a little bit different maybe from other podcasts, because I know that on a lot of podcasts, they're not educational as in being taught, if you will. They're educational by content, but maybe not being taught in such a way. But this is something that I feel strongly about. I guess teaching is in my veins. I was a teacher in the classroom for many years and really enjoyed that time. hello to all those of you who are in Waukegan now and listen in. And some of you mean so much to me. You were the birthplace of a lot of my stories. And you were also a huge impact in the transformation of my life. But I was born a teacher, and I went into ministry, but ministry didn't change that much. I continued to teach. And in fact, it's somewhat interesting to me, not somewhat, it's massively interesting to me, is that somewhere along the line, we got this impression that stories were not the way to convey information to people. We wanted to convey statistics or information in that way. And in fact, one of the interesting history elements is how the father of computers, that is in Steve Jobs, he took out an ad, 3-page ad in the New York Times to release his first computer. And it was all about the statistics of that computer. And that computer was belly up in a matter of months. People don't care about statistics. Statistics very seldom change our lives, but stories do. And so the marketing gurus of our time about 20 years ago started dabbling with this concept of storytelling and marketing. And they think, this is what cracks me up, okay? This always cracks me up. They think that somehow they discovered the importance and the power of storytelling. Can I tell you they did not? Can I just tell you that was not the beginning of the importance and the power of storytelling? Can I tell you, it traces its history all the way back to the very foundations of Scripture, because God has always been revealing himself in stories. You know, there is no greater story in the Old Testament, I don't think, than the story of Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Oh no, that's a musical. But the story of Joseph is so compelling that even Broadway has been enthralled with that story. Or who can forget the Exodus story of Charlton Heston, Moses? See, I get a little confused on the who, but not the story. You see, stories have always been compelling, and they change people's lives. And we only have to fast forward a little bit into the life and ministry of Jesus to find the backbone of storytelling. People say that he used parables, but I always say a parable is just a story with a punchline. It's just a story that hits us in the gut. And so stories, well, they've been around a long time. And Jesus used over 1/3 of his ministry telling stories to change lives. When he wanted to impact someone, he told a story. When he wanted to conflict with someone, he just laid it on the line. He didn't hem-haw around, but he would hit them with both barrels. But most of the time, he was just wanting to talk to people, and he was just wanting to share a little bit about the story. So that's what we're really going to deal with today. I want to tell you about the power of story in our lives. And I'm going to use a kind of a teaching format. I want you to remember, though, 3 interesting stories that have gripped our lives. One took place in 2014. It was a story that was aired in the Super Bowl. It's the most expensive time frame in the world. 30 seconds for millions of dollars, and you have 30 seconds to convince people that they want your product. And so a lot of advertisers have fallen on their face in trying to present their product when the master of storytelling, the mastery of storytelling was really what changed the people's lives. I'll take you back to 2014. And I'm not going to give you the product because you're going to give me the product. In fact, Eric, I'm going to challenge you. Eric's our engineer, and so I'm going to give him a rough one here, okay? Because What I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you the story that was depicted there, and I'm going to see if you remember the contact, the product there. Because what it is it's the story of a woman who has a litter of puppies, and she is trying to get rid of these puppies, but there's one puppy that keeps escaping. And the first time he climbs under the fence, and the next time we see him, he's in a stable with a bunch of horses that are just massive. And he is this tiny yellow lab nose to nose with this massive horse. And there's suddenly this bond between this horse and this puppy. And the guy takes the puppy back to his owner. And all of a sudden he's escaped again. And this time he's back with the horses. And finally he goes, they take him back again. This time he's a muddy mess when he gets there. The third time he's adopted and he's running, he's being taken down the road in this car when all of a sudden these horses are running alongside of this car, and one stands, chases the car, and then four stand in front of the car, stop it dead, and we see what puppy love is all about. Eric, do you remember the product?
Is it a Budweiser commercial?
Yeah, it's a Budweiser commercial.
Yeah, I wasn't sure.
But here's what's funny. You know, here's the amazing thing about this, Eric. Budweiser is never shown in the whole commercial until the 2-second tagline at the end of the commercial. They didn't need to.
That was the Clydesdales.
That was the Clydesdales.
Yeah.
And they represented the story. It's called Puppy Love. Let me give you another one. I'm not expecting you to know this one, okay? But let me give you another one that's a storyline that was so powerful. It was about this little boy dressed up as Darth Vader. And he's going through the house trying to use the Force to wake up the dog or change his little sister or get the doll to move on the bed. He's going around the house and it's all failing. And you see the dejected nature of this little boy dressed up as Darth Vader. He finally comes to the kitchen table and he's having his breakfast. His mom pushes the bowl of cereal over and he starts to use his power on the bowl of cereal and he just finally gives up. And he starts to walk outside and his dad pulls up and when his dad goes in the house, he stands in front of a car and he levels his hands at the car and he's exerting all of his power of the Force from Darth Vader on that car. And he's just so excited. Then he realizes nothing's happening. Cut to inside the house and his dad presses the remote start and this little boy thinks he has the Force. The product is never shown until the last moments of the commercial. It's Volkswagen. Yeah, you knew it, did you? Amazing. Way to go, Eric. I didn't have him on air because I didn't want to, you know, I don't cue him in on this. This is totally off the cuff. I have one more that I'll share with you because I just love these stories, but it's a current one. It's a advertisement that actually, if you're from Indiana, you'll kind of see its basis in the show America's Got Talent, where a man that is a custodian in northern Indiana wins America's Got Talent. But that's only kind of its side note. In this commercial, there is this custodian that's just sweeping up around, and as he sweeps, he sings. And we catch him singing around a stage and around the seating in the auditorium. And then we see this one woman who catches what's happening there. And she just goes online and she orders him something. A jacket that you might wear to an opening debut. Not a word. I haven't mentioned this, Eric, but this is powerful because not a word is spoken in any one of these commercials. Three commercials with no words. The script is the story. But this guy, this woman orders the jacket. Everybody's kind of in on it because they love this guy. They've embraced him as not only just a custodian, but a part of their team. And so on this one day, she walks up, he's sweeping the platform. She puts a microphone up on the stage. She hands him the jacket. And someone in the back of the auditorium holds up this sign and says, "Sing." And he starts singing What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Not once in the commercial is a product mentioned, but we see the little Amazon smile on the box that delivers the coat. You tell me that stories don't transform. They are compelling in our lives. In fact, there are three elements that are so important to story. They have to be compelling. They have to bring action. In other words, the compelling is the attention it draws. They have to influence us or bring action, and then they need to change us. They need to move us. There are a lot of commercials and advertisers who are trying to use story, but they don't know how to tell a story. Those three that have used that have told a story. I remember I used to write jingles for a living for a short period of time, and one of the things that I wrote in a jingle was this jingle for a RV company on the far east side of the state of Indiana. And it was a jingle that I can't sing, but I had a lot of great singers that surrounded me. But it simply said, "Open the door to America. We're giving you the red, white, and blue." And in that commercial, I just painted this idea of what it would be like to get into a new RV and have the roads of America open to you. It was a phenomenal commercial. And I have to tell you, the person did not buy it. In fact, he said to me, "No, I'm looking for something a little more campy. I just want you to mention the exit we're located at, 149A, and I want you to mention it at least 10 times in 30 seconds. So I wrote him the campiest commercial that I've ever written, and it played for the next 20 years. Oh, I hated that commercial by the end of its time. And about anybody who lives in Indiana, Ohio, or Kentucky, or Michigan would know what the commercial was. I mean, people would, when I would tell them I wrote that commercial, they would curse me. They did not want to know that the person who had wrote that. But the idea is, it was weak. It was terribly weak because it did not tell the story. You see, there's something that about story, and this is the stories that are told over the kitchen table. These are the stories that are told at weddings. These are the stories that where we gather around one another and we just find a fire pit and we start telling the stories. And sometimes, as Brent reminded us, they're the stories that we tell to our parents or our loved ones at the edge of death. When grief is knocking at the door, we tell our stories to one another. I sat with a family as we did some funeral preparation, and we spent 40 minutes just sitting around telling stories. And what I heard were the stories of life, not death. And when I left that room, I recognized that I had been in a sacred place in that moment. Wow. Stories change our lives. We build a bridge when we tell a story. We'll build a bridge between us and others. And in fact, something interesting happens, and I'm not going to get into the whole psychology of storytelling because over time I'm going to give you four books. I only believe that there are four books and a couple of websites or podcasts that teach us how to tell stories one. And one of them is Story Mosaics, okay? We're going to learn how to tell great stories. But I have to tell you that something interesting happens when we tell stories. Stories make people like us. No, I don't mean that creepy kind of like button on social media. The fact is, when we tell stories with one another, we become like one another. It's called neurocoupling or mirroring. It's the moment where our lives start to look like one another and we become symbols and illustrations of one another's lives. You tell me your story, and I'll tell you my story, and I recognize that we are more alike than we are different. And I said that once before, and a friend of mine down in Texas reminded me the first place I heard that was in a story in Amsterdam. We are more alike than we are different. And when we tell our stories, it punctuates all that we are in being alike. You know what? I mentioned to you that Christ told stories and he was so powerful in those stories. And I want us just to start with this concept of the power of storytelling, because you will not go any further until you buy into that one fundamental premise, that one fundamental idea. And then we're going to start to knock out. And believe it or not, over the next 11 months, on that fourth Tuesday of every month, I'm going to teach you something that illustrates and punctuates why storytelling is so powerful. But the fun thing is, over the other three weeks of every month, we will see the power of storytelling illustrated. Whether we're laughing together or whether we're crying together, whether our lives are transformed with hope, like what they were with Andrew Peters as he told his story, or whether we see the change that can take place in a person's life in a faraway nation, as Delaine shared her story with us as well, we're going to see stories unfold that change who we are. Oh, I hope you're as excited about this as I am, because I love the journey we're taking together. And we've just started it when we say, yeah, Jesus taught it. The scriptures have taught it. It wasn't new just 20 years ago. It was from the very foundations of the earth when Jesus told us a creation story. And he's good at it. And he tells stories well that change our lives. I can't wait to tell you the full story of the cross sometime. Hey, thanks for joining us on Story Mosaics. I hope today you've begun the journey that says, yeah, stories are powerful, and I want to be a part of that journey. Take care. Have a great day.